moment, Ed Bousman, Lynchburg, Ohio, and the God Is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast. It is written, all the churches of Christ salute you. It is written, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. It is written, and Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went unto the place of which God had told him. It is written, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen.
For God is just a prayer away.
And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. From the depths of sin and sadness to the heights of joy and gladness, Jesus lifted me in mercy full and free. With his precious blood he bought me. When I knew him not, he sought me. And in love divine he ransomed me. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains.
God is just a prayer away.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, listen to this message from Genesis chapter 22. Isaac and Jesus. The first time the word love is mentioned in the Old Testament is in the story of Abraham offering up Isaac as a burnt offering. God said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and offer him as a burnt offering upon one of the mountains that I will tell thee of. Maybe it's more than a coincidence that the first time love is mentioned in the New Testament is when God said at the baptism of Jesus, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The first mention of love in the Old Testament was the love of a father for his only son, and the first mention of love in the New Testament is the love of the Heavenly Father for his only son. Both were only sons by a miraculous birth. Sarah was past the age of childbearing when Isaac was born. It may not seem at first glance that Isaac was indeed an only son of Abraham. How about Ishmael? For God's present purpose, Ishmael is not taken into account. It was not God's idea that Abraham should have a son by Hagar. That was Sarah's idea. This was not the first time Sarah had trouble with the promise of God. The first time she heard an angel tell Abraham that Sarah would have a son, she laughed, since she was well past the age of childbearing. She did not think that the angel knew she laughed, seeing as how she was in the tent. So when the child was born, they called him Isaac, which means laughter. Every Jew in the world today is a walking, living, breathing miracle, having descended from a man whose birth was a miracle. Jesus, in similar manner, had a miraculous birth. The angel Gabriel told Mary that the power of the Most High will overshadow thee. Wherefore the holy thing that is born of thee shall be called the Son of God. To offer Isaac his son as a burnt offering was a great test of Abraham's faith. Abraham had been tested before. The first time he was tested was when God told him to leave Ur of the Chaldees and leave his kindred and go to a place that he would be shown. Paul says in Hebrews that by faith he went out not knowing where he was going. He was looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker was God. Many today have had the same test of faith. Sometimes it is hard to leave the convictions of family and friends in the matter of their religious convictions and follow the Word of God. They have gone, as it were, into the cemetery and are hiding behind the tombstones of their parents. But remember, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me." Not many are like the preacher I know who told me that when he became a Christian, his parents disowned him. It is hard to find a person who has the faith of Abraham, a person who will heed the call of the Lord Jesus, and if necessary, leave kindred and even homeland to serve the Lord. But this test was a little different. No crowds would stand by applauding Abraham. No medal would be struck in his honor. No stamp would be issued with his picture on it. No statue would be erected commemorating the event. This would be a cold, naked test of faith. Was he going to obey God or not? Abraham was at the point of life when he thought he could put his life on cruise control and coast all the way home, but such is not the case. Sometimes the greatest trials in life are reserved for advanced years. It was not as a young man that David did the adultery and murder thing. He was a man in middle life. And it is not as a young man that Abraham has his greatest trial, but as an old man. Now this test of Abraham would be a test that was needed. Abraham had reached a place in life where he could proudly say, "Isaac is my boy. Everything depends on my son, Isaac." Ladies and gentlemen, we too live in the same syndrome today. Sometimes we say everything depends on how much money we have. Everything depends on our size. Everything depends on our associates. Everything depends on our talent. Not so. Everything depends on God. Isaac could be taken away from him. He soon found that out. So Abraham meets his greatest trial head on. God said, "Offer up Isaac as a burnt offering." So Abraham rose up early in the morning and started chopping wood for the burnt offering. He saddled his ass and got ready. He would have known what Paul would say later on. He conferred not with flesh and blood. He did not take anybody into his confidence. He never even asked Sarah what she thought about it. There are some matters in the Word of God that we had better not confer with flesh and blood. One young lady one time had decided to be repentant and immersed for the remission of her sins, and she planned to do it the following Sunday. But like Abraham, she should have risen up early in the morning and got the job done. Instead, she conferred with flesh and blood. In this case, the flesh and blood was the flesh and blood of a preacher. This flesh and blood preacher told her it was not necessary, and on the advice of a pile of flesh and blood, she rejected the inspired writers of the Word of God and changed her mind. Now Abraham rose up early in the morning with these two servants. His son Isaac, they loaded the ass with wood, and they started for the mountain that God told him about. On the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place. Whenever you read about the third day in the Word of God, there is a good chance that you are standing on resurrection ground. And this event is no exception. It was on the third day of creation that the waters moved back and the dry land appeared. That was the first resurrection on the third day, and it would not be the last. Then, too, we are reminded of the words of Peter when he said, "A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." From that perspective, the Lord Jesus ascended to heaven the day before yesterday. The third day is this, the 21st century. Jesus arose from the dead early on the third day, and we are living now early on the third day. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm not making any predictions, but it is an interesting thought that we live early on the third day since the Lord went away. He lifted up his eyes on the third day and saw that awful place where he was to offer up Isaac as a burnt offering. Abraham told the young men to wait while he and the lad go to the top of the mountain and worship and come again to you. Abraham said, "We will come again unto you." Abraham knew there was only one answer to his problem. God said, "Offer up your son as a burnt offering." He was willing to do what God said, but he also remembered that Isaac was the son of promise and that his seed through him would be as the stars of the heaven. So there was only one explanation. If Abraham killed Isaac, God would have to raise him from the dead. In the Hebrew epistle, it is written that Abraham accounted God able to raise him up from the dead, from whom he received him back in a figure. His faith was that great. There never had been a resurrection before, but this was the only answer. He most definitely would slay his son and leave the rest up to God. He said they would be going up there on the mountain to worship. Now, just what is worship? Some usually think that worship of God is going to a religious concert and hearing music with a good beat that makes you pat your feet and wall your eyes and shout, "Amen, hallelujah, and praise the Lord, amen." This was the last thing that Abraham was thinking about. In this worship service, Abraham would not feel like crying out, "Glory to God in the highest," as he slit the throat of Isaac. Yet he said he was going to worship. What is worship? In this case, worship was simply doing what the Lord told him to do. Ladies and gentlemen, any time you do what the Lord tells you to do, you are worshiping the Lord. When you assemble on the Lord's day and take the Lord's Supper, you are worshiping the Lord. You don't have to pat your foot while you do it. Some people, however, are very emotional and very unemotional and never holler, "Praise God." But if you are emotional and feel like saying and shouting hallelujah, that's all right. It's all right to be emotional. It's like putting gravy on the potatoes. I, for one, like gravy on my taters. Praise the Lord, hallelujah, and amen. So Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain to the place of worship. Abraham then loaded the wood from the ass to the back of Isaac. Then he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. There were two people that ascended the mountain of sacrifice that day, the Father and the Son. Think you not that when Jesus staggered up the bloody slopes of Calvary, he went alone? The Father had just as much to do with it as the Son. They went both of them alone. together. Isaac carried the wood up the hill, and that reminds us of Jesus who went bearing for himself the cross. Both sons carried the wood. It was not only Abraham who was willing to offer up his son as a burnt offering, but God the Father was willing to give his only begotten son. Isaac was not a little boy, as some artists have depicted him. Some seem to think he was about 25 years old. Some think he was 36, and some go with the age 33. That seems to be the most appropriate guess, considering the fact that Isaac is obviously a picture and a type of the Lord Jesus. But not only was Isaac in the prime of life, he was a strong man at that. He was loaded up with ass's load of wood and carried it up the hill to the place God had chosen. This indicates that Isaac was willing to go along with the plan as well as his father Abraham. Had he wanted to escape, he could easily have overcome the aged Abraham. God the Father was willing, and God the Son was willing to give his life also. Jesus had said, "I have power to lay my life down, and I have power to take it again. No one taketh it from me." Then on the way up the mountain, Isaac asked his father a very important question. "My father, here is the wood for the burnt offering, and here is the fire. But where is the lamb?" Abraham told him, "God will provide himself a lamb, my son." Ladies and gentlemen, the lamb is to be found at the cross. John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Where is the lamb? When Philip preached to the Ethiopian eunuch, he began from that scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And the scripture where he began told of a lamb who before his shearer was dumb. When the Ethiopian heard about the slain lamb, he wanted to be baptized. Where is the lamb? He is to be found in the waters of baptism. Paul said, "We are buried with him in baptism." And here is an example as to how the burial was done. They went down into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Where is the lamb? Again, we note, the Lamb is in heaven on the throne, interceding for the Christian. John in Revelation sees him there when he said, "Salvation unto our God, who sitteth on the throne, and unto the Lamb." Where is the Lamb? Abraham said, "God will provide himself a Lamb, my son." And God did. When they came to the place, Abraham built an altar and laid the wood in order. When Elijah built the altar on Mount Carmel and brought down fire out of heaven, he also laid the wood in order. In Leviticus, in telling of an offering of sacrifice, they always laid the wood in order. Although the scripture does not tell us what this means, it seems to be something that is stressed. We wonder, could it be to lay the wood in order was to place it in the shape of a cross? After laying the wood in order, Abraham bound Isaac and laid him on the altar upon the wood. Isaac was bound, and so was the Lord Jesus. They bound him and carried him away and delivered him up to Pilate the governor. Jesus is still bound today. Sometimes people bind him. The hands of Jesus are bound by a congregation when about one-third to a half of the members show up for the Lord's Supper on the Lord's Day. Certainly the Lord's hands are bound by a 2% average of their money that most give. He is bound also by the ignorance of his people in their knowledge of the Word of God. The Lord Jesus is limited today as to how much he can do because his church has bound him. So Isaac was bound and laid on the altar. Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. His hand was raised. At that moment, the angel of the Lord called from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, here am I. The angel said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. By saving the life of Isaac, God showed that human sacrifice is not acceptable for salvation. This was a sin that Stephen accused Israel of doing in his defense before the Sanhedrin, before he was stoned. He reminded them that their ancestors had taken up the tabernacle of Moloch. In 2 Kings 21, there's an example of King Manasseh making his son pass through the fire to Moloch. Moloch had a hollow belly. The fire was inside. His arms were outstretched in the cradle position. The infant was laid on the red-hot arms as a sacrifice. The beating of drums drowned out the screams of the infant so that the mother could not hear. This was one of the sins that resulted in the Babylonian captivity. One wonders what fate awaits America. As the millions of babies are sacrificed in the modern-day Moloch of abortion, those who abort call it terminating the pregnancy. That term, terminate the pregnancy, somewhat silences the screams of the butchered infant. Actually, the sacrifice of Isaac would not have been acceptable anyway, because a sacrifice that was prefigured had to be perfect. Isaac was not perfect. The lamb of sacrifice was always examined for imperfections before sacrifice. Nothing less could satisfy the demands of justice. But the perfect Lamb of God, who was examined and was declared to be perfect, tempted in all points like as we are and yet without sin. The only sacrifice the Lord requires in us is what Paul said in Romans 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, which is your reasonable service. Hear it again. Lay not thy hand upon the lad. Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a ram caught in the thicket by the horns. And he took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. You see, Isaac was a type of the Lord Jesus Christ in many different ways. But there is one thing that is missing. The ram was a substitute for Isaac. There was no substitute for Jesus on the cross. Peter said, There is therefore now no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. There is no other Savior. There is no other plan. Now this in conclusion. Abraham built an altar there and called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide, or in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Abraham saw the place. Where was this place? It is identified as being in the mountains of Moriah. Solomon built the temple on one of the mountains of Moriah. Some seem to think that the place where Abraham went was that very spot where the temple stood. There is another possibility. Mount Calvary, the place of a skull, was also there. It was 40 feet higher than the temple. While we don't know for sure, it is significant that Abraham traveled 3 days to get there. That place of the offering of Isaac must have had some significance, as Abraham called it, Jehovah Jireh, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will provide. Could it be the place where Abraham offered up Isaac was the very spot where the Lord Jesus was crucified for our sins? Whether it is the actual place or not, for the cross or the temple, Abraham, with prophetic vision, could look across the chasm of almost 2,000 years and see that there would be no substitute for the Son of God. Ladies and gentlemen, so I stand in the water and immerse a person into Christ, baptizing them into his death. It is then that I can say with Abraham, Jehovah Jireh, in the place of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will provide. Ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to another God is Just a Prayer Away radio broadcast brought to you each week at the same time by Churches of Christ and Christian churches who are concerned about your soul salvation. The address, Ed Bousman, Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Only as you reach back to us with your letters of support can we reach out to you with the gospel as it was preached in the days of the apostles. The address again, Ed Bousman, Post Office Box 511, Lynchburg, Ohio 45142. Check out our website, edbousman.org. Praise the Lord, pass the ammunition, tell somebody, somehow and in some way, that God is just a prayer away.